You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
This is where Wisconsin wakes up. It's Daybreak with Brian Noonan and Jamie Martinson. Here are your hosts, Brian and Jamie.
Good morning. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. It is 6 minutes after six. Happy Friday. My name is Jamie Martinson.
And good morning. I'm Brian Noonan. Glad you're here. 855-75-CIVIC is how you get a hold of us. 855-752-4842. Jamie, you look very intent. We didn't even say hello before the show started. You were scowling and looking at the computer and didn't have your headphones on.
I was like, oh boy, here we go. Writing some emails that need to get out yet this morning. And so going to work on that and do it before breaks. But, you know, we've all been there, right? You start your day. Ours starts particularly early. And you realize that the night before you had an entire list of things that needed to be done. And then you look at that list and you're like, huh, I didn't do that. And I need to start my day with that because it is highly important that this information gets into the hands of other people. So there you go.
So you don't abide by that. Isn't there some rule about only sending emails during business hours? Like I would never... I don't send emails yet. It's
my business hours start now.
All right. So as long as you're up and working.
Yes. And here's the thing that I always think about. If you don't check your email until later in the day, that's fine. I've done my end of the bargain and I've sent out the information that you need to have. And you can come back to me with any questions you have later on in the day when you get around to checking your email. That's always the rule that I've kind of followed because my day for so many years has started so early. And I understand that for some people it's annoying. You won't believe the email I wake up to every day at 4 a.m. So, you know, we live in that world, though, where we really never get away from that sort of technology, right? Because we can send things overnight. Things come into us. It is what it is in this day and age, I guess.
Yeah, I don't keep my phone in the bedroom at night.
Yeah.
I go to bed.
I
check my email first thing when we get up, and then there's some that I like. If you guys send me something, I would respond at this hour. But other people, I go, I'll just wait till after the show.
Some of the stuff that this morning that needs to be sent out is specifically Civic Media related. So it's one of those things where it's also Friday. And so some of these things need to be in people's hands by the weekend. So I want to make sure that I do that.
So they can't deny that they got it?
Right.
Oh, we missed it.
Oh,
we left the office early.
Oh, we didn't see it. Oopsie.
Yeah, sorry.
No, that doesn't work for me. I'm not an oopsie kind of person. So here's the information you need. Please, please at least read it. Please ask me any questions you may have throughout the rest of today. And anybody who works on the news talk side of things knows that I am pretty much available all weekend, anytime they need something. So they know they can always reach out, which is perfectly fine. But
your plans for the weekend. We'll be
yes,
doing,
I'm very excited.
We'll be working.
I'm very, That's, very wow. exciting. I'm a very That's, exciting human. I think it's been an interesting week. So I think there's been a lot of meetings. There's been a lot of, you know, small things that we've had to put fires out on. So I think it's one of those weekends where we're going to try to decompress just a little bit. Sundays are usually considered a bit of a work day at our house. And so starting about noon, that's pretty normal for our schedule. So we try to basically take most of Friday and all of Saturday. We're always connected. We always have our phones. But we try to at least do something that is not sitting at home, sitting at a desk, doing what we would normally do. We'll see. This weekend, we're exceptionally tired, so it might just be us staring at each other in our living room watching movies, too. I don't know.
I don't know, even though it was a shorter week.
It was a long week.
I wonder
week.
If other people are starting to experience that. I mean, we didn't work Monday, so we had Monday.
No.
And it doesn't seem... It seems so long ago that Monday was a holiday. But, I don't know what it is. This week has just been especially long.
Don't you find that, though? I always find that when it is a short week, I'm always like, ooh, it's a short week. And then I go through that week and I'm like, this is the longest 4 days of my life. And that I don't know what it is about short weeks. And maybe it's because, you know, we expend so much energy getting excited for a 4 day week or a 3 day weekend, whatever it is. But by the time I get to that 4 day week, I'm like, well, this is just not as exciting as I thought it was going to be. This has been a long week.
And if you're feeling the same way, 855-75-CIVIC. I don't think we're alone in this. But all right, here's a question.
Okay.
Now, Jamie, you got married a while ago and you eloped.
Mm-hmm.
You know that.
Yes.
So tomorrow is Molly's shower.
Yes, that's exciting.
Her second bridal shower. She had one out on the East Coast for
It's with the Midwestern folk.
Tomorrow is like with... Her bridesmaids are coming in and the relatives on this side.
Sure.
And Ian's mom and sibling are coming in and everything. But so the discussion last night arose when she got here about opening gifts at the shower. Now, I didn't go to Debbie's shower. Guys didn't go to the showers in those days, and Ian is not coming to the showers.
Sure.
But is that still, you've probably been to more showers more recently than I have. Do the brides still open gifts, which seems weird. It's like a child's birthday party. And Molly's it's kind of awkward.
But. I think it really depends on who it is. What I love about where we're at in the world is there's really no standard rules about anything anymore. It kind of feels like whatever feels best for that individual. I did not have a bridal shower because we eloped and because we were already living together. I was like, I don't need to have a bridal shower. It's just not something I wanted to do. So we did not have one. I've been to plenty over the years. I've had some friends who absolutely refused to open gifts at the bridal shower. I've had some where we had to like put our chairs in a big circle, like a child's birthday party.
Yes, like at a kid's birthday party. Which kid birthday parties, they don't even open the presents anymore, which is good.
But and that's just it. Most of my friends who chose not to open gifts at bridal showers, it was simply because, first of all, it's a bridal shower. So there's always that weird, crazy aunt who's like, ooh, let me go get that piece of lingerie that the groom might like.
Right.
My friend was like, I don't want to open that in front of everybody, right?
So, oh, God, no.
Right.
Or something off the registry or not on the registry that you really hate and now you got to put on that. No.
Right.
So I don't know what's happening tomorrow, but that's still up in the air. Because I guess at the other shower, Molly's future mother-in-law was throwing it. And they wanted her to open gifts there.
Oh, so they did the big circle thing.
Yeah, they did the circle thing. But I don't know if tomorrow, like Debbie's like, it's up to you. And Molly's like, no, it's up to you. And I'm like, oh, I'm glad I'm not involved in this at all.
Flip a coin, ladies.
Yes, I'm going to bed. I'll see you tomorrow. it's one of the many things that I don't understand about, weddings and showers.
I think it's really
Parker,
interesting.
Parker, your future, maybe.
There you go.
Look ahead.
I'd like to weigh in on this.
Oh, Frank is here.
Oh, good.
Surprise.
Oh,
hi, Frank.
What is your thought on this?
What did you do?
Did you go to the shower? I did have to go to the shower.
Oh, no. Oh.
I did.
It was a double. Oh. It was like a groom and bride shower.
I was the only man that had to be there.
Were you hoping to unpack
so
your sack
weird.
While you were unpacking the gifts?
Oh, I did, baby.
That's usually like a very bride thing to do. Now, the baby showers are much different. Baby showers are much different where it's family, it's husband, it's everything.
Oh, see, I thought that was just the
moms,
changed. Too.
No, that's changed. Ooh. Because, well, now you have the gender reveals and things, which have become like a full-fledged Vegas show in your backyard for a lot of people. Anyway, I digress. Frank,
I was fine going. Because I'm the one who cooks, and a lot of the gifts had to do with culinary items.
Oh,
I was more excited than my wife was.
Okay.
To be fair.
To get the kitchen appliances.
Gifts there?
We did, and I think you kind of have to. I think if a bunch of people are spending a bunch of money on you, and this is more so, I don't think the younger crowd cares.
Right. But
like, I certainly wouldn't. Open it up, send me a thank you text, whatever.
Yeah.
The older people, they want to watch you open it. They want
it
the big surprise.
It gives them joy and pride to watch it.
They don't have a whole lot going on.
Yeah,
that's true.
True.
Well, my mom is very upset because she picked out Molly. I helped her pick out, you know, she told me what she wanted for Molly's gift off the registry. Mm-hmm. Well, then when Debbie ordered it, she had it sent to Pennsylvania.
Oh, so she doesn't get to watch her open it.
Doesn't get to watch it.
Oh,
so I said, well, Ma, we'll do a FaceTime. I said to Molly last night, I go, I told Grandma when you were opening the gift. She goes, I already opened it.
Well, fake it now.
Wrap it back up, Molly. I don't know what to tell you.
We'll wrap it back up, and we will make sure that Grandma sees you open it.
That's hilarious.
No, that's what I mean. I've been to some shower. I went to one shower. My cousin, it was a baby shower, so it was a little bit different, but it was co-ed.
Mm-hmm.
But they said, we'll open a couple of presents, and they made sure to only open the presents that were from, like, the grandmothers.
Okay.
Or the great-grandmothers, because
so
they're the ones
they
that really
it.
Care.
Yes. Okay, yeah. That makes sense. That makes total sense.
So, if there's one piece of advice, Brian, for your daughter, if she's teetering on what to do, what not to do, open a couple.
Open a couple from the old folk.
From the old folk.
All right. She told me about one of her bridesmaids was at a shower last week that was a display shower. Where you were supposed to bring your gifts.
Yep.
I had never heard of this.
Yes.
You bring the gifts unwrapped, and then people just browse, walk along, and see what you got. I'm like,
which feels like
kind of lame.
It feels kind of weird. It feels a little weird. Like, ooh, look at my shiny object. And then, like, if you have one present that's not as good because somebody doesn't have the money, but they still wanted to do something nice. Like, it feels very awkward to me to do it like that. And I've been to one shower that did that. And I remember walking with my friend. And we were like, is this a museum? Are we allowed to touch these things? Like, what is actually happening right now? It was very strange.
I had never heard of that, and it sounded like the weirdest thing ever.
It is weird.
Just walk along and go, oh, look, there's a mixer.
It is very weird.
There's a towel warmer.
Yes, it's very, very strange.
Brian, do you know what the hot ticket item Molly was hoping for from this registry was?
I know a couple, and I know, well, some of them ended up here. And Debbie would keep me informed of what was, you know, purchased. She, one of my, I have to be careful because she's downstairs. my buddy was like, man, she has really expensive taste. I was like, yeah, and I don't know where she got it.
you shoot for the moon.
Yes.
Oh, always.
Yeah.
Always. And the weird thing, like, this is how things have changed. And maybe other people are at this age. Like when we registered, it was all for Crystal and China. That was the big thing. You don't need that anymore.
No.
She did some glassware and stuff, but it was like funky everyday or kind of special, but not Crystal.
I don't know. I like the gift registries for me are really weird too, because I felt like I was just walking around scanning things because I felt like I had to. We were one of those weird couples. We really didn't want anybody to get us anything because I am a little specific. I don't like pomp and circumstance. And I was like, if I want something or I feel like I need it, I don't need to wait for my bridal shower or anybody to get it for me. I'm just going to go get it because I probably need it in that instance. We have stuff from our wedding shower that we ended up gifting a long time ago or putting into thrift because we never opened it ever.
Re-gifting. We'll get into a whole asking for money too another time.
Oh, God.
But when we come back, are you still watching CBS's news programming? A lot of people are not. Anyway, it's 6:20. I'm Brian Noonan. This is Daybreak.
I'm Jamie Martinson. Thank you so much for joining us today on the Civic Media Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
All facts, no fiction. It's Daybreak with Brian and Jamie.
It's 6:22 right now. Thank you so much for joining. A beautiful start to your day. Going to be a gorgeous day around the state as we touch into the mid-80s around most of the state.
Nice.
We're also going to have a lot of sunshine today as well. So if you're able to get out and enjoy some of that beautiful early summer, late spring weather. It's that weird time. I'm not sure where we're at, right?
I was going to say, you're not going to start again. It's too sunny now today.
No,
I need more clouds.
I spent a good portion of yesterday afternoon outside with the dog. She just loves to sniff. So we spent a good portion outside just letting her sniff around. It was a good time. Chasing bunnies and sniffing the grass.
It's getting to the point where I just want to be out all day. And then because it's staying light all night, I feel like after dinner, if I'm not outside, I'm like, I'm wasting all this daylight.
Yes.
What am I doing?
Yes, absolutely.
Why am I sitting in trying to watch CBS's news programming when it has gone to hell in a handbasket? Which is the question. Do you still even watch CBS's news programming after all the changes? And maybe you're on the side that's like, well, finally they got rid of this. But Jamie, you and I are old enough to remember CBS being the bastion of journalism with Edward R. Murrow and Walter Cronkite and the Tiffany Network, and they were the place. And 60 Minutes with Mike Wallace and all those guys who got to the bottom of all kinds of things. And even when Dan Rather was there before he went crazy, it was great. Well, lately, the luster is off the Tiffany Network, and it continued yesterday. CBS News Editor-in-Chief Barry Weiss has replaced the executive producer of 60 Minutes, naming outsider Nick Bilton, a longtime technology journalist and documentarian, as the show's new leader. Tanya Simon, who was the executive producer, is leaving about a year after being named to the job following 30 years at 60 Minutes. This move is a part of the turmoil of the news magazine that premiered in 1968. It's known for its ticking stopwatch. You've all seen it. Everybody who likes in-depth stories and news magazines, I mean, 60 Minutes was the pinnacle of that. And you'll remember a lot of this started back when there was the story about the prisons in South America, and Barry Weiss killed that story. Well, she said in a memo yesterday that their goal was building a show that thrives in the 21st century, and that requires a new approach, expanding 60 Minutes beyond a one-hour television broadcast, deepening its role across CBS News, and holding everything we produce to the ambition, fairness, and fearlessness that have defined 60 Minutes at its best, unless it upsets the president, and then we won't do it anymore.
I mean, here's the thing. For me personally, when I think about this, 60 Minutes and the fact that media is so beholden to corporations now, this isn't new. We've been talking about this for a really long time now. People are getting more of their news, whether we like it or not, from podcasts, YouTube, TikTok, social media, newsletters, cable network, streaming services. There's countless resources for it. And we also know that the Trump administration's frequent attacks on the media with terms like fake news, regularly targeting reporters, networks, late night hosts, certainly contributed to a different environment. But media organizations have, I think, in some respect, because they have capitulated in multiple times since Donald
CBS
Trump.
CBS being one of
since
them.
Since Donald Trump descended on an escalator, they've capitulated multiple times. So I think they've also hurt their credibility with a lot of people. My concern isn't whether somebody leaves 60 Minutes or not, or actually the changes they're making. It's the concern to the institutions and the fact that Americans as a whole are losing trust in those institutions.
Oh, sure.
Because when that trust collapses, especially when we're talking about media, and this is where I get on my soapbox just a little bit, but people are going to retreat into these separate information bubbles. And this is where you stop talking to your neighbor and you stop agreeing on basic things. Political divisions are going to definitely deepen. And then this is where it also becomes harder to have any sort of productive conversation about things like public policy, elections, accountability, any of that, right? And sometimes it's not even that deep of a conversation that we absolutely can't agree on, because those institutions, those trusted sources are now gone. And that's what I think is my biggest issue when we talk about CBS story.
The personnel is not the issue, like you said. For me, the personnel is, it's just a symptom of what's going on there, where we're going to take out away these long-time people. See, 60 Minutes was never, it's a news magazine. So they, you know, they're not giving you the top headlines. They're giving you big stories, and they're going in-depth on those stories and giving you interviews with people that you might not have heard of. My concern is now that those stories that are covered and those interviews will all lean one way. And we all know that all media has some sort of bias to it. But this is so bald-faced in its attempt to get rid of anybody who questions the administration. And it's just one more nail in the coffin of journalism, one more nail in the coffin of free speech. And there's nothing we can do about it. We just have to be aware of it. And I think it's important to point this out every once in a while, not dwell on it forever, but just, you know, here's what's happening. And I don't like it. You shouldn't like it. And the ratings are showing it. The ratings are plummeting. Their nightly news took, as soon as they got rid of a real anchor and brought in the new guy, it toppled. You know, they just went right in and because people are distrustful, as you said, but we have places that we still held out hope for and that we still clung to some, not blind faith in them, but enough faith in them to go, okay, they're gonna give us at least both sides. Or if they're giving us one side, it's not going to be so heavy-handed. Mm-hmm. Well, that's gone now from CBS.
Yeah.
So any trust you did have, even the little bit, is gone.
But I think we're seeing that across the board, how many networks lean a certain way. And I think this is just CBS falling into the same trap. And it's unfortunate because it was a bastion, right? It was that shiny beacon on the hill that we looked at. And it's unfortunate. Corporate media, man.
I just watched David Muir because he wears those tight black t-shirts.
That's right.
And he's got the guns loaded. He is ready to go. What's your biggest changes in your family finances? We'll get to that and more. It's Daybreak on the Civic Media Network.
Now back to more of Daybreak with Brian and Jamie.
Good morning. Thank you so much for joining us on the Civic Media Network. If you're in Madison listening on WMDX or in Wausau on WXCO, La Crosse on WLCX, and our friends up in the Northwoods in Hayward on WBZH, we are glad that you decided to join us on this Friday morning. My name is Jamie Martinson.
And good morning, everybody. I'm Brian Noonan, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. That's how you get a hold of us, whether you're calling. And if you call, be nice to Parker because he's always on edge, Jamie.
He is.
He's very fragile.
He is.
So be nice to him and then you'll get to us.
And you can also, I love that. Thank you, Parker.
Oh, it's a special award. It's Italian.
It's a major award.
It is a major award. It is a major, major
surprised
award.
Surprised you've seen that movie, Parker.
Yeah.
Christmas movie.
Okay, there we go.
There's a lot of Christmas movies. But that's how you can call Parker, talk to him about a Christmas story, talk to him about anything you want. Or you could talk to him about what we're talking about, and then you get to talk to us about it, too. That would be fun. Hey, you know what's coming up on Monday?
Yes,
it's June 1st, friends. And you may think, oh, that's the start of summer. You don't know the half of it, because Monday is the start of Civic Media's Accelerate Your Summer Text to Win Multi-State Contest. Oh, my goodness. We've done these before.
We have.
It's always fun. You have a daily chance to win $100 and a Wisconsin Dells prize package. Plus, every entry, whether you win that day or not, every entry puts you into our grand prize drawing for a $250 gas card and a $250 grocery card. You can download the Civic Media app for free. We tell you that all the time. If you don't have the app, you cannot play. You cannot win. You will be sad. You will have FOMO. And your summer will be off to the worst start since you had to go to summer school in high school because you were a derelict and a delinquent. So there you go.
It's going to be a good time. And you get to win good stuff. $250 in gas, another $250 in groceries. So, definitely be ready to play along.
We're listening for the word. $100 a day.
Right?
I'll take that, too. I'll take a daily win and a Dell's prize package.
First word.
Especially in... I'm sorry?
I was going to say first word at 7 a.m. on Monday morning. So,
oh my God.
All right.
The pressure builds.
I know.
This is how are you going to sleep Sunday night?
You're not.
No one. Everyone will be... It'll be like Christmas Eve.
That's right.
Everybody will be all buzzy, and they're like, I can't get up. And then at 6:59, they'll fall asleep, and they'll miss the first word, and they're like, oh, drat.
And if you do that, you're going to have multiple chances to win for two full weeks, so no worries. You're still going to get into the contest, I promise. There's lots of ways to qualify.
So if they miss the first one, they're not excluded from the whole thing?
No,
I want to get all the rules and all the loopholes covered, because you know people are going to be panicking.
There are always rules and loopholes and everything, aren't there?
It's Monday, and you will be doing this because we all could use $100,
right?
Especially now, yes. Because yesterday, the new numbers came out, and inflation is on the rise. So where are you feeling the biggest challenges to your family's finances? We know maybe it's gas, maybe it's groceries, wherever it is, 855-75-CIVIC. So inflation jumped to 3.8% in April compared to a year ago, according to the Commerce Department, and it's up from 3.5% in March, the highest since May 2023. Now, on a monthly basis, prices rose 0.4%, which is down from 0.7%, which was the big jump in March. It's still higher than the inflation fighters at the Federal Reserve would prefer, and I'll be honest. For all the years I've been talking about inflation and prices and percentages, I don't truly understand it. All I know is prices are higher than income. That's all I need to know. And that's probably all you need to know, because you hear these numbers too and you're like, I don't know what that means, Brian. I know my groceries have skyrocketed. My salary has not gone up. Debbie, my wife, just got her annual review and she got her little raise, and it's not even a cost of living rate.
Right.
And she was at the highest end of what her firm is giving, but it's like a couple percent.
Yeah.
And by the time the taxes
get taken out, really it equates to maybe a couple extra bucks at the
and
end.
And I try
of
to
it.
Be support, you know, I want, it's good. And I give her anything extra is good.
Yeah.
And I could see the disappointment in her face, because it's like she works.
Because you work
like
so hard.
Most people.
Right.
She works so hard. We all work hard. And then you're like, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
So yeah, we're not making as much and it's costing us a lot more, and the numbers back it up. But just remember, folks, if you're starting to panic about this, and Jamie, you especially, I want to remind you, inflation is made up. affordability is a made up term. Everything is fine. Everything is peachy keen.
Well, that's what we've been told several times by this particular administration. In fact, the president has said that increases in gas prices, which, by the way, are up more than 50% since the U.S. and Israel launched those attacks in the Middle East on Iran, amounts to what he called peanuts. And previously, previously, if you remember, he had said that, you know, the personal finances of Americans, he doesn't really worry about those even a little bit when he's mulling over what he's going to do with the war.
No, why should he?
If you're thinking that this administration is going to bring some relief or has a plan to alleviate the cost that we're all paying because not only of this war, but let's also remember because there's still tariffs in place, you're probably not going to get much help from this administration, unfortunately.
No, that peanuts comment really, I mean, it bothered me. A lot of things he does bother me. But when he said he doesn't give any thought to, you know, Americans' finances, that bothered me. And then to say the cost of gas going up is peanuts, it's not. It's affecting, you know, maybe you and I can not drive a little as much. Maybe we can cut back a little. But everything that is moved around by truck, diesel fuel, farmers trying to get their equipment out, this affects everybody. This is not just a soccer mom in a minivan, if that's what he's thinking. This is, you know, how does he think all the machinery for his big white trash wrestling or UFC show, and not that UFC is white trash, but he's making the White House look like a carnival. Mm-hmm. It's a construction site now with a octagon in front of it. So, you know, all of that came by truck, which runs on diesel fuel, which we know is a lot more expensive. And it's sad when the other day I paid $4.20-something for gas.
Oh,
and
you were
and
excited.
I was like, that was a good price.
Yeah.
Well,
we were doing some traveling across, the upper Midwest last week. We came across gas. I don't know how it happened, but it was $4.09 a gallon. And we were like, holy buckets, let's stop and fill it. Yeah. I mean, you almost want to burn
off a tank just to get another one.
Like you run to the local store and get a gas tank so that you can carry it around with you because, fill this up. It's so cheap. Roger and Stevens Point chiming in on the text line saying, in addition to the gas and groceries, my internet bill is up 13% over last year. Yes, we're starting to see the rise in utility bills as well. Mark from Prairie du Sac also commenting this morning saying, but Trump is now a real billionaire, so nothing else matters. If you want to comment this morning, 1-855-752-4842, 1-855-75-CIVIC. Now, interestingly enough, when we talk about these numbers, in the Midwest, by the way, just so everybody's aware, inflation is running around 4%. And the thing about Wisconsin that it feels a little off because our unemployment rate right now is relatively low in comparison to the rest of the country. So a lot of people in Wisconsin are like, hey, we're doing okay, until they go to match what they're bringing home with the rising cost of everything else.
And there's some communities in Wisconsin where gas has dropped a few cents.
Sure.
But it's fluctuating a little. That's I saw an analyst on CNN the other day saying to get it back to the $3 a gallon where it was before, it's going to take like 6 years to get us back to that point. So, yeah, I was excited about 419 or 420 instead of 470, but I'm still not excited because I was paying 298 before the war started.
When I was doing a little research on these inflation numbers last night, and I'm no economist, so my eyes start to glaze over. So you got to talk to me like I'm five when we start talking about numbers. But I learned a new term, and I found this very fascinating. Economists sometimes describe this type of economy as a K-shaped economy because it means some people are doing very well financially, others feel like they're falling further behind, and that's part of why the economy can feel strong on paper, but it feels very different around the kitchen table. So they call this a K economy based on, you know, the ups, the downs, and the fact that it's kitchen table, air quotes, issues. But I found that a little fascinating. I'm like, okay, now we're putting it in terms that I actually understand without percentages.
I had not heard that term
decimals
before either. It is, well, that's the thing. You know, guys like Scott Bessent and all these economists, this is their bread and butter. They can throw these numbers around. They know exactly what it means. They know, maybe they know that the numbers mean nothing.
Sure.
But they are confident. You and I, all we know is what comes into our paycheck and goes out in our bills. And if we're working and we're making money and we can afford certain things, we're feeling good. And if we can't, we don't. And this is it. But it is scary, and it is depressing to know that the people in charge don't care. We all kind of know that politicians don't really care about us despite all their protestations. And they're, we are for the working man and we're blah, blah. We know you're not.
Right.
But at least we like to create the illusion. And then you hear these kind of statements and you go, boy, the illusion isn't even there anymore.
He's been in office for a year and a half, roughly, right?
Right.
Have we ever hit inflation under a Republican president? And I'm asking this seriously, this quickly, because with the trickle down economics, the way Republicans like to you know, basically structure the budget, and especially with this administration, we knew that there was a pretty good chance recession, inflation, those were all going to be things we didn't factor in, maybe the tariffs or a war that would, you know, maybe exasperate that and ramp up all of it. But have we ever hit inflation this quickly under a Republican president? It feels like we always have to work into it a little bit more, and then maybe the last year or two things are really bad of that presidency, or maybe longer if they win another term. But it just feels like this has been very quick and very sped up.
They'll blame the past administrations.
Of course,
they inherited, even though the numbers don't back that up at all. This is all on the Trump administration. But to your point, I don't think so. It does. Everything, though, feels accelerated because every day we are being hit with a deluge of new either atrocities or unprecedented messing with the rule of law. It all just keeps coming at us. So everything seems fast. And then you throw the war in, and that's going to throw everything topsy-turvy. And then his vacillation of the treatment of this war, where we're going to get such volatility in the markets and the oil prices because he says one thing to drive the prices up, then he backs off of that and the prices drop, and somebody's making a lot of money on this. It's not you and I, but somebody is. So I just don't know. But I guess there was one positive sign in yesterday's report. Core prices rose just 0.2% in April from March. That's down from 0.3% the previous month. So again, oh, yay, 0.1%. I don't know what that means.
When families are barely affording food and staying overnight in food pantry parking lots and things like that, you know, I'm not sure anybody cares about the gross domestic product, the core prices or anything. They're just trying to figure out how they can feed their family and pay their bills and hopefully keep a house over their heads, right? Because that's where we're at right now.
Yes, and you have the president saying that it means nothing. It's peanuts. What are you talking about? You're paying over $4 for a gallon of gas. That's nothing. All right, let's shift our focus a little bit to public art. Should public art be non-political? It's coming to Madison. We'll talk about that after this. It's Daybreak. This is the Civic Media.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
From Lake Superior to Lake Michigan, this is Wisconsin's Morning Conversation. Daybreak with Brian and Jamie.
6:52 right now. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. We do appreciate it. We hope you are having a great start to your Friday. Get ready for another weekend. My name is Jamie Martinson.
And good morning. I'm Brian Noonan again, echoing Jamie. Thank you for being here. We do appreciate it. So, should public art be non-political? 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Jamie, I don't know about you. I love public art. I love able to walk around and see whether it's something silly like the cows or when Minneapolis did all the Snoopy, the peanut stuff or just the fire hydrants, whatever it is. I love those kind of things. I like to just be overwhelmed by art because I'm not an artist by any stretch of the imagination. But I do believe art opens our eyes. It gives us a little culture and it is a vessel and a avenue for artists to get their thoughts out and their views of the world.
What I love about it is even if you don't understand it, even if you don't like it,
right,
it makes you think about something in a different way than maybe you normally do. That's what I always appreciate about art. It uses that part of your brain that sometimes we like to just let go dormant a little bit because everyday life. And so that's what I always appreciate about art. And it's really hard if it's a public art display not to just run smack dab into it, right? And have to actually think about it for a second.
And it's okay to go, that's weird.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, even if that's all you have, it's okay, right?
And you go, why do you think it's weird? I don't know the way the face contorts or the shape or just there's some, I don't know what it is, but you're thinking about it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's a piece of political art coming to the Capitol grounds in June, and it is the Consentivus pole. It is just a pole. It's an art installation that's going to be erected, a satirical First Amendment pole targeting President Trump and his relationship with convicted sex offender Jeffrey Epstein. Now, Chaz Stevens is the artist. He's from South Florida. He is a provocateur and an artist.
Mm-hmm.
I would like that title. I want to be a bon vivant and a provocateur.
There you go.
That would be terrific. So he got a permit from the State Capitol Police to set up his creation in the rotunda. It will be built with custom beer cans and an LED neon heart atop it that reads Don plus Jeff.
Interesting.
I'm down.
There
we
go.
So he's calling the piece, like I said, the Consentivus pole, inspired Parker by
Seinfeld.
Yes, the Festivus.
It's a very Festivus. Good pole. Festivus is my favorite holiday.
Because we will all be airing our grievances as we look at this about Trump and Epstein. And it's going to be about 5.5 feet tall. It predominantly features the word consent and his drawing of Trump's profile. He also reads, the official drink of felonious life choices. I cannot wait. Now, other states turned him down. Mm-hmm. He showed emails, and a lot of other states said, no, we will not. But Iowa wrote, upon further review, your request is denied. So Iowa makes sense. You'd have to go to either a blue or purple state, I think, to
probably
get this get this approved. Do you? What do you think? Is this too? Is it too political to be in the Capitol? I don't think so. But what about you?
You know, I think it's going to be interesting because the Capitol here in Madison gets a lot of visitors, and yes. I can't imagine they all necessarily agree or are all of them are not Trump voters.
But that's okay, isn't it?
It's going to be interesting to see their reaction, though, I think, right? If they go in there, and will they even pay attention? That's the other thing, because you're on a tour. It's pretty fast-paced. They take you through areas, so some of them might not even pay attention.
I don't know. If I see a neon heart that says Don plus Jeff, I'm going to go, what is that?
Well,
but I think it's okay if people don't like it. I mean,
it's art. You don't have to like it. Yeah.
And I just because I like it doesn't mean you have to like it, mm-hmm. but... The only question I can see is, okay, being in the rotunda means it's state sanctioned.
Yes.
And is that going to be a problem with some people? Because
Our
government should be for everybody.
Yes.
It doesn't matter. It should be for whoever you vote for. Now, if it was out on the lawn of the Capitol, mm-hmm. I would say that, you know, even though it's on Capitol grounds, it's not in the rotunda. I don't have a problem with it, but I can see that being the one thing that people say, is this a state-sanctioned message? But is being against pedophilia a partisan issue? It should not be.
No, and I'm going to assume that you know, if there's any comments back to the state, they basically say this is art. You know, it was installed here. It's going to be here for one day because it is going to be there on June 12th, starting at 9 a.m., and then it'll be taken down in the afternoon. So it's going to be a very short-lived. Come check it out if you want to, and then it's going to be gone. But I think that's just it. When you,
well, it's only going to be there for a day.
Yeah,
it's only going to be there on June 12th from 9 o'clock to the end of the day.
Yeah,
he's done this before in Florida. He did one when the state capitol put up a nativity scene, so he put up. He was allowed to build a Festivus pole out of Pabst Blue Ribbon cans.
Yep.
So that's what he does, but. I'm game.
Now, in case anybody's wondering, Wisconsin state facilities don't really have rules on this. The only rules they really have are that anything for rules of anything being displayed at the Capitol, it has to prohibit stickers, labels, tape, or any other adhesive material that might leave residue or damage to the building. That's essentially the rule that we have at the state facilities in Wisconsin.
Wow. So if we don't want to have to re-wax the floors.
Right. So if you're listening and you're like, are there laws that say they can or can't do this? Turns out that there aren't really any written tried and true laws other than if it doesn't leave some residue on the wall. We're good.
Yeah. So if you don't like this one and you want to create a piece of art for the other side, find out. I'm sure there's a permit that's required. Get the permit, build your art, and see if it gets accepted.
Absolutely. Yeah. Everybody's free. It's art. There you go.
It's art. All right, hour two coming up. That means we've got some stuff you need to know. Oh, next hour, besides Swipe or Stay, we also have a brand new game and to celebrate. So we got to go. It's Daybreak. This is Pacific Media.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.